Very cool. So, time does fly like an arrow, because it seems like just yesterday that we were talking about RX and this exciting new reactive extensions for .NET that you and your team have made. Jeffrey Van Gogh.
Hey, Charles. Good to see you again.
Jeffrey Van Gogh.
Jeffrey Van Gogh.
Van Gogh. Thank you. I love it. Dutch is such an interesting language, man. So, and that's a great name,
by the way.
Are you related to Van Gogh?
It's a different branch of the family tree.
But there's genetic similarity.
Yep.
So a different branch of the same tree means you have some of that creative gene.
Some common ancestors. Yes.
That's outstanding. So, RX, people who are watching this video, I'm going to make the assumption they know what RX is. I mean, it's been on Channel 9 for months and months, over a million. It's been viewed over a million times, all the great content that's been on there.
Exactly.
And, of course, in this world that we live in, a lot of people program in JavaScript.
Yep.
And so you have ported RX, the .NET version, to JavaScript. So, of course, not one-to-one, but dramatically different.
Yes.
Languages. Talk to me about how you did it. What's going on?
So our goal was is to get the same capabilities on JavaScript, so the same combinators, the same ideas of reactive programming, but then with a JavaScript paradigm. So, I mean, .NET, it's all about classes, types, interfaces, extension methods, and so on. You don't have that in JavaScript. There's objects, there's like prototypes. So we try to fit into the JavaScript paradigm, but still give the same expressive powers and the same operators. Like, if you know about like throttle and buffer with time and all those operators in RX, those same exist now in the JavaScript. Of course, with the JavaScript paradigm. So you need to know about prototypes and objects. But if you know that, you can use RX for JavaScript.
Excellent. I'm assuming at this point, advanced people using JavaScript in an advanced way, not even in an advanced way, but prototypes, you don't get classes, get prototypes. I'm assuming people watching this understand that.
Hopefully.
Yes, I mean, of course, JavaScript developers must understand that, but not all do, which is why so many people use JavaScript. We're not going to go down into that rabbit hole today. So, take us through this. Now, one of the great things about RX for .NET, in my opinion, is it's linked to events, linked to streams. It's really what it is.
Yep.
And I think that expressive beauty of being able to, you know, write selects over events, I think it's a beautiful thing.
Yep.
You've actually can do that in JavaScript now?
Yeah. So, I think the main important thing about RX for .NET is that we don't just provide this iObservable thing and leave it to that, but we allow you to convert from existing event and asynchronous patterns in .NET to iObservables and then use this great query power to query these events. And we've done the same thing for RX in JavaScript, that you can get observables that represent DOM events or XML SQL requests, for instance.
Now, let me ask you a question. JavaScript is fundamentally single-threaded.
Yes.
And .NET, of course, but is as many threads as you want to spin up. Just, you know, you have to know what you're doing to write good concurrent code on .NET. But nevertheless, talk to me about this asynchronousness.
Yes. So there is actually, it's not real concurrency in JavaScript, but you have to think about concurrency in some way in JavaScript too, because like JavaScript uses the set timeout, which is based on the UI thread message loop. So there's kind of this cooperative multitasking going on in JavaScript. So, and a lot of people use it when they use an asynchronous XML HTTP request, or they do this trick where they call set timeout of zero to make something happen the moment that the UI thread is free, when like the current code of execution is done. So there is this notion of concurrency in JavaScript as well. And as more of these things become asynchronous, you have to start dealing with it more and more in JavaScript.
So instead of using, so essentially what I'm hearing is instead of threads, you're relying on set timeout and timing.
Yes.
To deal with this.
And,
so,
and your events from the user are also asynchronous. Like when the user types on his keyboard, like in a kind of dictionary suggest autocomplete mode, you can consider it asynchronous as well, because they come in whenever the user decides to type, so it just happens at some time, point in time.
Absolutely, and we do that all the time on web pages.
Yes.
Using the XHTML
what is it, XML, HTTP, yes. Set async to true, then write your delegate. I remember those days.
Yep.
But anyway, take us through how this works.
Sure.
Okay.
So let me first describe to the people less familiar with Rx from .NET.
Okay.
So at the base, we have like this object that represents like an observer and an observable. It's like two objects. And an observable you can subscribe to. So what you do is that, imagine you have like var o, and it is some observable object. And we'll get into that later, how you get into these. Now, what you can do is, if you want to listen to the events that come in on that object, you say o.subscribe. And now what you can pass into subscribe is a couple of things. You can either pass in an observer, or you can pass in the functions that represent that observer.
Okay.
Now, what an observer is, it's three methods. It's onNext, onError, and onCompleted. So, onNext, onError, and onCompleted. onNext is the normal flow of execution. The next value that is available to the observable gets posted there.
Okay.
So for an event, this could be like the mouse cursor position, or the key that you typed on the keyboard. On error is what is called whenever there is an unexpected value coming through, like an exception or a timeout, etc. And on completed is when this stream knows for sure there's not going to be any more messages coming through.
Okay.
And the reason we have these three, like on error, we want to pass in and not just have the system crash, is because there's this asynchronicity going on, you cannot rely on the call stack to bubble up the error information. And on completed is mainly there for optimization, so that, you know, this stream is done, I don't have to keep using the resources anymore.
Okay.
So. So that's observable and observer. So in JavaScript, what we can do is you can really pass in any object here that has these methods. So you what you could do is just use object literals and say onNext is a function, onError is a function, and onComplete is a function, and then the system will work. We create a couple of nice overloads that, like, instead of having these three, you can pass in just the function for the onNext case here, and will automatically give you defaults for the onError and onCompleted cases. So you can just write function here, and this function will be called anytime an event comes through with the value. So that's the base.
Okay.
And this is like just a nice abstraction on top of like all these different asynchronous patterns. One important thing is that what you see in a lot of these event-based patterns is that there is a separate add event handler and a remove event handler. There's a couple of problems with that. The first is that like you'd have to keep a reference to this function around, otherwise you cannot unsubscribe the function anymore.
Hmm.
And second of all, it's hard to build an algebra on top of this, because now if you want to modify the subscription or like make it more specific, you have to like modify the function itself instead of the subscription.
Okay.
So what we do is our subscribe returns an object that you can use to unsubscribe. So so you can say var s equals that, and then when you're said, oh, I don't want to listen to this event anymore, you say s.dispose. And everything gets torn down. And the nice thing is that this s is now, you can send it to other observables, and you can build a whole algebra on top of these dispose objects.
Nice.
So that's the base of Rx. This is how the two interfaces work.
Okay.
And then our library presents has a whole bunch of combinators that you can use to do logic on these observables. So you can filter, you can
project, you can group, merge. So we have a whole bunch of these operators. And so what we did is there's in the JavaScript version, so we have this object called rx.observable. And that's the one that we use to create all our objects. And it is it has a whole bunch of prototypes. It means that like those methods become available to every instance of this object.
Mm-hmm.
And those are the combinators that we would talk about. So any time you create an object from here, you'll get all these combinators in your object. And there's a couple simple ones like select. So there's observable select. So what it does, if you have some observable, you select, and then you pass in a function. And what this does, it gets, for every value that comes through the event stream,
mm-hmm.
it goes through this function, it gives you the value, and you have a chance to modify the value. So imagine that this is a string of numbers. What you could do is you could say, return v plus 1.
Mm-hmm.
So the outcome here is new, so O2 is a new observable that for every value that O had, will give you one more than the value that O had.
Okay, and that's the JavaScript syntax.
That's the JavaScript syntax, yep.
I see the function is the literal replacement for lambda.
Yes.
That we used to in C# or VB.NET or whatever we're using in Rx.extensions.
In JavaScript, functions are already first-class citizens, so you can pass them around everywhere.
It's a functional language.
Yep.
Right?
It's a dynamic language.
It's a dynamic language that...
But it has functional...
It has functional
traits.
Goodness.
Yep.
But let's step back real quickly. I mean, why?
Why?
Okay. Why did you do this? I mean, I know you're clever. Everybody on Eric's team mm-hmm. is clever. Why are you doing this?
So JavaScript is all about web programming.
Uh-huh.
And web programming is all about doing asynchronous stuff.
Okay.
But JavaScript is an imperative language. It's really, really hard to do these asynchronous programs in JavaScript. Rx makes it a lot easier, and it did this for us in .NET. And we realized that it could do the same, brings the same power to JavaScript.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why we ported it to JavaScript.
Excellent.
And if you look at it, it's very similar. If you already looked at all the videos for Rx.NET,
mm-hmm.
you can just use it. Just throw away all the information about types, all the generic stuff, throw it away, and you can use Rx for JavaScript.
Okay.
Of course, there's a couple other things that you have to be careful about. But you already have to be careful in JavaScript in general that the closure rules in JavaScript are very different than the closure rules in .NET.
Let's talk about that. What do you mean? Why?
Okay, sure.
How?
I'll give you a sample. So if you're writing a prototype, so we have like o.prototype dot foo. Function. And in here, we can use the this parameter, which points to whatever object you call foo on. So if I say x.foo, so in foo, this will be that x.
Okay.
So that's very similar to extension methods in .NET.
Interesting.
But there's one thing that's very different. That is, if I create a new function in here. So if I say var b equals function, so I do nested functions here, right? I have mm-hmm. a function inside a function. And now I say this, and let's assume that we call b from here, right?
Mm-hmm.
So this is now all of a sudden undefined. You cannot say this dot something, because here we call b.
Mm-hmm.
But we didn't do something that B. So there is no this assigned to this call. So you have to be very careful in JavaScript in using variables from outer functions in your inner functions, because the closure rules are very different than in C#.
Okay.
And this was something that was very hard when we were reporting it, because like we have the .NET implementation, and we start like just transcribing it. And you have to think very hard each time that you have a closure hey, is the closure rule different here? So that was that's one of the bigger pain points in converting for us.
Interesting. And what about, you know, one of the other obvious differences is JavaScript has no such thing as classes. Prototypes are the order of the day. How did that affect you, impact you? Did it at all? Was it simple?
It was pretty simple. There's, of course, no, like, there's no interfaces, so you need to create this constructor for this object, the observable, the prototype. Like, if you, like, as I said, you can just pass in an object literal with the functions.
Mm.
But if you do that, you lose all the extension methods, like the select, and so will not be available. So if you want to get the availability of all these functions that we define in prototype, you have to create an object of that type. So it's different. I can't say that it's harder or easier. It's just
it's different.
Thing, and it has both. It has its pros and cons.
Now, were there anything during your implementation that it's not like JavaScript isn't a flawed language. I mean, Crockford talks about it all the time. There were some very serious design flaws in the language that have remained and probably will continue to remain until maybe the next version. Did you run into any problems with just like severe strangeness where you had to like just go, this has to work, and it didn't because of some arcane language screw up?
Actually, I found a bug in our IE implementation by doing this. I'll humor this channel 9 viewers with this.
Sure.
And it has to do kind of with the closure rules and scoping of variables. So in if you define a function, and in that function I have like some variable x, and let's set it to the value 3. Okay?
Okay.
And now I do a try catch. And in that catch, I decide to use x here as the name for the catch variable. And I do something with that thing here, and of course there's something in the try block. And now here, I do something with what I assume was this x. And let's say alert x. So in most JavaScript implementations, and according to the spec, this x is only in scope inside this catch block.
Sure.
However, in Java, in IE, this x is the same x as the variable x. So if I say throw 5 here, in IE, alert will print 5, and the other browsers will print 3.
Interesting.
And this caused some really wacky bug in one of the versions of RX that we had. We didn't realize that it was going on then.
So did you tell, I'm sure you fed back this, and that's not, it's not necessarily IE, it's the JavaScript team who work obviously with IE, but can't blame everything on IE. There's a team that owns the JavaScript engine, and they need to get it right.
Yep.
So I wouldn't blame Dean and company on this.
No.
So are they going to fix it, or do they say it's not a bug?
So right now, I think this is a bug. If they change it, they break people who rely on this in their apps in IE, right? So
sure.
It's going to be hard for them to change this, but who knows what's going to happen with the IE9 work with the JavaScript engine that they're writing now.
Who knows? Exactly right. So, all right. So let us, just to let people know, the thing that we looked at the very beginning of this is written in RX.
Yes. So it's a simple
five lines of code?
Yeah, it's about 5 lines of code. It's what it does, it hooks up to the mouse move event, and then for each letter that you saw flying, it delays the mouse move by 100 milliseconds time the position of that character.
Excellent.
The demo actually ships with RX for JavaScript. If you install the bits, you get the demo for free.
Excellent.
And the nice thing about the demo is the demo is very small, and RX itself is pretty small. Like if you install it on iOS 7, iOS 7 by default comes with static content compression. That makes that RX.js file about 5.6 kilobyte.
Nice.
So it's pretty small.
Cool. But you brought up an interesting point. JavaScript, you would hope,
work. I'd want to write a JavaScript. I'm actually not even going to go down this path, so I'm going to move on. So,
sure.
But I'm not going to edit it. I'm just, people are going to see the way the mind works, and I'm not going down that path because it's pointless. So let's continue on more with what is an observer exactly, precisely, in JavaScript? How do you define it?
Sure. Observer or observable?
Observable, sorry. Well, because there is no interface, as you've already said several times, and
yes,
people know because the JavaScript programmers probably get that. It's not a purely, it's not an object-oriented programming language, yet it's full of objects and functions as values, or functions as objects.
Sure.
So let's continue.
Okay, sure. So
just take me through that. What is a JavaScript observable? How did you define it?
Okay, so I'll just write you the code. It's a couple of lines of code, so
perfect.
I'll just write everything down.
Can you write it kind of in big print?
Sure, I'll try to write. Yeah.
I mean, come on.
My handwriting
sucks.
You're
related to Van Gogh, man. But you know what? It makes sense that you are.
He stole everything.
No, it's like Starry Night in your whiteboard,
that's true,
man. All right.
So so how it's defined is var observable. It's a new function. You pass in. Does it says this subscribe and that's pretty much observable.
Okay.
And then observer as a function it takes
on completed. Yes, I see the pattern.
Well, there's a bit more to this one.
Okay.
Because we do some tricks here. So, so what we do is like, we allow you to optionally pass these in.
Okay.
And the nice thing about JavaScript is that like, every argument is optional. So
yes.
If you just pass the first one, if you call observer with just one argument, these just become undefined. So what we do is we say on next equals undefined question mark, and then we just pass an empty function. Or else, we pass in all next.
Okay.
So this allows you to just, you can optionally pass this argument in. And we do a very similar thing for on error and on completed. I'm going to write them out completely, but.
Now, why wouldn't you require?
Because we, in the Java, in the .NET version, we pass in, we have separate overloads of creating observer with just on error.
You don't need overloads in this language because you have optional parameters.
And there you cannot even do overloads in this language.
Understood, because then that would be really strange.
Yes.
Although it might work in some JavaScript engines. All right.
Who knows?
Let's go down.
So so that's the base.
Got it.
And so there's this repeat for the other uncompleted. So that's the base. And then what we do is we say observable dot prototype is and we pass in a whole set of those functions. So here's where select is implemented and it is some function where
nice.
Take etc. So anybody who creates an object of observable automatically gets these functions there. And the nice thing about JavaScript, the prototype is like extension methods in .NET for JavaScript. So anybody who comes up with a cool combinator that we haven't shipped in RxJS can write like something like this. So in their page, they script include RxJS,
mm-hmm.
and then what they say, so it's actually Rx, it's Rx.observable. I shortened it to observable, but it's really like Rx.observable. So what they say, rx.observable.prototype dot my function equals and then whatever their function is.
Okay.
And this now becomes available to every observable.
Excellent.
So it's pretty powerful.
It is. I mean, it's a good way of extending the capabilities that you're providing by default.
Yep.
One of the nice benefits of JavaScript, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
Excellent, man.
Yeah.
So let's take a look at the code.
Sure.
And I'm going to tell people right off the bat that this is not your typical Brian Keller style, you know, or even Jeffrey Van Gogh style picture-in-picture beautiful screencast. We just want to take a quick glance at this as opposed to a demo. I just want to see what it looks like. So show us the effect again. Let me kind of zoom in here.
Try to do this a bit slowly.
Very nice. I got that very nicely. It does fly like an arrow, man.
I'll view the source.
Okay.
So, of course, we import the Rx library. And then, as I said earlier in the interview, we allow you to convert existing JavaScript patterns to observables.
Mm-hmm.
So that's done through this method. So what we say is that for this HTML event on the document object, that's named mouse move.
Mm-hmm.
Convert that to observable.
Excellent.
So now we have this thing is the observable object with the subscribe function. And then what we are doing is like we get the text time flies like an arrow, and we also need to get the container where we want to insert the text into. And then we go through each character in that string, and when we add a new span element for each of those characters,
mm-hmm.
and we insert the character into the span element. Then we do some CSS settings to make it absolute positioning, and then we add it to the document.
Okay.
So one weird thing you see here is that I nest this in another function. And the reason I do this is, again, because of the closure rules in JavaScript. If I didn't do this, then only the last character would ever be hooked up to the events.
Okay.
So this is to make sure that the I gets inserted into the closure. So then what we do is we have that mouse move event, which is now an observable from Rx, and we use the delay operator. So what the delay operator does, it really delays the events coming through that amount of time that you specify. So imagine that you get a mouse move at 10 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
If you delay, you could use delay operator with 1 second or 1,000 milliseconds, that event will now come out in the outcoming observable at 11 seconds.
Hmm.
So it's like a linear shift by the amount that you pass in.
Okay.
So then what we did, we parameterized that for each of the letters. So each letter is delayed just a slightly a bit more time. And then we subscribe to that new event that we created. And what we do every time a mouse move event comes in, we change the style, the position of the element. And then we have the offset so that you get the nice in a row pattern. And that's it. So that's all your code you need to get that cool effect.
Very cool. Well, yeah, I've seen that before for many years of JavaScript. Essentially sprites,
yep.
They used to call it, really what it is. Much more code than that. Nice, man. It does fly like an arrow. So where can people get the code?
So it's available on DevLabs.
Okay.
It ships under the same license as rx.net.
Mm-hmm.
So you can play with it and use it in your pages.
Mm-hmm.
Support is available through the Rx forum.
Mm-hmm.
And we'd like to see your feedback. How do you like it? Things they're missing, things you'd like to see differently. Please let us know.
Absolutely. Well, hey, great job, man.
Thank you.
I think it's really, really cool, and it's sort of a natural evolution. Not necessarily evolution, but the term would be sort of a natural progression of Rx into a language and context where most people in the world find themselves programming today, web
yep.
pages. Very nice, man. Hey, thank you.
Thank
great
you.
To see you again, man.
Good to see you.
And I look forward to more screencasts by you on Channel 9.
Yep.
Show us some super groovy samples with this stuff.
Will do.
That would be nice. HTML5, you know? Come on.
Yep. Will do.
Thank you, buddy.
Thank you.
Cheers.